Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, brought to you by the Desai Group. The Desai Group, getting the real work of innovation done. Visit them on the web at desai.com, D-E-S-A-I.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from the Radio X studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here's your host, Stone Payton.
Welcome to this special edition of the High Velocity Radio Show, coming to you from the Radio X studio in Atlanta, Georgia on Memorial Day. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the booth is our co-host, Lee Cantor. How you doing, Lee?
I am doing okay, Stone. How about you this fine Memorial Day? Is there some race you look at today? Is this the holiday with NASCAR or something?
Well, it might be. I think yesterday's NASCAR race got rained out. Normally, we would have that over the weekend. And then isn't there, I think maybe the open wheel guys may run today.
What is open wheel? Indy? That's Indy 500.
You are just so out of the loop.
I'm sorry. It's not my thing.
Actually, when the show's over, I got to go back home and write a bunch of checks. I have to write a check to the pool so that I can get into the cookout. And so I don't know how much racing I'm going to get a chance to watch today.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But I do know one thing. We really should take just a moment and acknowledge the brave men and women over the years that have given their lives so that we can do fun stuff like this in a free country.
Absolutely.
We do have a marvelous show for you this morning. We are going to have in the studio a gentleman by the name of Chad Rothschild, and he is a branding expert and an absolute aficionado when it comes to helping you meet your market more effectively. Please join me in welcoming Chad to the studio. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you and appreciate you coming down here on a holiday. Got a ton of questions to ask you, and I think we might as well just jump right in. One for me, at least, is I get the sense, and I hear from so many clients and strategic alliances and colleagues, that marketing has really changed. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I think anybody in the marketing world who's actually out there trying to promote their brand will tell you 100% it's changed, you can see it developing over the last year especially. Let's take kind of a step back. Even the last 30, 50 years, the way that we've always gone to market is through broadcast marketing. Just as we're on a radio show here today, if you got your brand on a radio show enough times, your word got out there. And then television came in, and it changed even more. People were trying to get their commercial on as much as you can, and you can think of Mad Men show,
yeah,
which really got people going. So basically, people were trying to stand out in the middle of a street, and as many people could get out there, everybody would yell and scream as loud as they can to try to grab attention and awareness. Well, we really see that changed. I mean, think about it today. How many people actually watch TV in a normal way? I only DVR TV. And even if I'm going to watch it in real time, I'm going to wait the show to go 5 to 10 minutes so that I can rewind it so I can skip all the commercials.
Wow.
So when you start really thinking about the way that we're trying to get people's attention is really, really having to change. Radio, you know, you have new ways of watching or listening to the radio, and that might be either through the internet or you got Sirius satellite where you're skipping all these commercials. Newspapers are going to be dead in the next 2 years.
I believe
so,
that.
You know, so the way that we discover our information, the way that we share our information and get our information is completely changing the way that marketers now have to go to market. And what we really found out through several different people like Seth Godin and all these people, it's more horizontal now. People are really sharing information in a completely different manner. And you see things like social media really coming up and all these new channels of ways that we have to, as marketers, adapt to the market and not the other way around. We can't get consumers to change to what we have typically done.
Now, how do you find that your clients are making this adjustment well from going from the old way of doing it to the new way?
Absolutely not. It's an education process. We see a lot of the older people still thinking, hey, it's worked this way for 30 and 50 years. We must continue down the same path that we've always gone down. It's always worked. And now they're not getting the results that they've always expected. This economy is changing. And people are looking for new ways to connect to these customers. And And that's really what I do. I specialize in helping my clients attract, retain, and engage their customers and prospects through new avenues. And we'll talk about some of those solutions, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd be real interested to hear about some of those avenues. I know that a lot of people are trying a lot of things, and I think there's so much information coming at us even about what kinds of avenues to take that a lot of us don't know where to start. Where do we start with breaking the cycle of this interruption marketing you're talking about?
And that's exactly the word that you hear a lot now is interruption marketing. Social media is kind of the hottest topic on the market right now. I think everybody in the room has heard about it, and we all think about what social media is to us. And really what we want to think about is it's the opposite of the vertical broadcast method. It's now we're taking it from a more of a centralized to more of a horizontal, more sharing across the world. We share with people, and those people share with other people. And I heard a great story from David Merriman Scott, who wrote the book Worldwide Rave. And he told this quick story of how this lady who was trying to launch a new ride at Universal Studios for Harry Potter. And she was the PR marketing person, and they asked her, you know, how she planned on getting this message out. And she said, you know, I'm only going to tell 7 people. And yeah, the way you're looking at me is the same way that the executives were looking at her. How can you only tell 7 people about this? And she said, well, you know, I'm sticking to my guns. She almost lost her job over this. And she decided, you know what, this is the way that the new marketing is going. And so she set up this private chat thing at 12 o'clock at midnight, and you had to have a passcode, and she made it very secretive. And what she did was is she told the 7 biggest bloggers in the world about this new Harry Potter ride, and she had them log in. And what they did was, obviously, is, you know, they were so excited about getting this new information that they posted it on their blogs and they blogged about it. And then those people heard about it, and those people blogged about it and told about their friends, and it spread horizontally. And so those 7 people within 48 hours, 300 and some X million people had heard about this ride. And now it's considered one of the greatest PR.
Right. It was the key, though. It wasn't just any bloggers. It was the 7 biggest Harry Potter bloggers.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's the secret now is that before there were, remember when we were all kids, there were only 3 channels. There were, you know, you had limited choices. Now the media is that, you know, remember one time they were saying, oh, one day there'll be 500 channels, you know. Now there's really infinite channels. You know, every blog is literally a channel now. Every YouTube video channel. I mean, it's just millions of places to disseminate your content. So if you have the right partnerships, then that's the way you do it nowadays, right?
And you're exactly right. So it's more targeted, more niche. So all you have to have now is a common interest. And so you're not trying to reach broadcast mediums anymore. You're trying to reach the, it's, you know, people always ask me all the time, you know, how big, you know, what kind of net should I be trying to grab? And it's not the size anymore. It's how targeted is your message to that group of people.
It's back to one at a time. I mean, really, this is full circle to the way it used to be, is you just have one good relationship and you try to nurture that, and you do a good job for them and they tell their friends. I mean, it's back to that, one at a time.
Word of mouth advertising is right. Back, right? We're back 360.
Right, it's true.
So the look that she got from those executives, do you find that you get that same look when you're initially talking to clients and suggesting that they take some of these alternative approaches as opposed to the billboards and the print advertising and all that?
I remember when I was talking to the executives at the company that I work for about it, and they kind of gave me that look like, hey, this has worked for us forever, and why would we ever want to think of changing? But it's an education process, and I think if you can just show what other world-class companies are doing, best in class, and if you can show them some of the results that some of these other companies are getting, and just keep educating through the new channels and show them, hey, this can work.
How do you see the economy playing into this? Because it's kind of a perfect storm scenario where you have the economy is weeding out some of the weaker players across the board. And then you have the advent of all this new social media and the advent of, like, look at Twitter's now going through the roof. I know we're all involved in that. And, you know, Facebook, millions, you know, LinkedIn's got millions of people on there. And then at the same time, the economy's tanking. How do you see these two, you know, coming together, and what should someone do to kind of capitalize?
Well, Lee, I think that's a perfect question in today's economy. I think today we're in a depression, and the depression is advertising. No, people don't want to spend money on advertising. They're thinking that social media is the end-all, be-all. Some of this is low cost, and not that there's not cost involved. Time is probably
the biggest cost.
Oh, right. Absolutely. And I don't think people really look at how much time and effort it really requires in human capital to maintain all these new social media channels. And really, they're just tools to syndicate your message, is what I tell people. And I think that people, again, try to take on way too much at one time. And they think, well, now Twitter's here, so I've got to get on Twitter. Right. And they have no idea
how to do there.
Yeah, right. Isn't that amazing?
Right. I'm on.
I got to get on there, but I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
So we hear a lot of people coming to us, and I get those questions all the time. Well, what channels are going to be best for me? Well, the question is, where's your audience? Where's your target market?
You got to find out where they're hanging out, right, and what they want to talk about.
You got to fish where the fish are. So you got to talk to them, interview them. Hey, I think most people don't understand that 90% of B2B companies are getting their information online. So you've got to get in there and talk to them and say, hey, where are you using? What online channels are you using? Are you using online forums? Are you using Twitter? Are you using Facebook? What ways are you getting your information? And then really talking through those different channels.
And talking is the key word there, right? You want to create a conversation and dialogue. It isn't a monologue where I'm just, hey, look how great I am. Look at, I'm the best.
I think that'll sink you in a heartbeat, won't it? If you just jump out there raising your hands, look at me, buy my.
And that's exactly what broadcast media is, isn't it?
Right.
You know, we're saying, hey, look at me. That way is over. It's an engaging two-way conversation. It's a two-way dialogue. And I think what a lot of people miss on the B2B side especially, and not to detract from your question, but is that they're only talking about them and their products in there. And people are so invisible to that now. That's invisible. You're gonna blur with everybody else. We call that the wallpaper effect. You're just gonna blur in with the rest of the wallpaper. So you've really got to get in there. You got to talk about what they want to talk about. What keeps them up at night? You got to provide solutions. Add value to them first.
Right.
And I heard Chris Brogan, who's one of the biggest blogging experts on. He said, you know, you have to bring wine to the party.
What a great way to put it.
You know, right. He said, you got to be able to bring something to them that's going to add value to them, that's going to want to engage you back. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, think, well, all I have to do is add value. But really what Lee said is correct. You got to add conversation. You got to get that two-way dialogue going. Because, again, if you're just adding value and they're not conversing back,
then you're not adding value. I hate to break the news to you.
Yes.
If no one's talking back, you're yelling by yourself somewhere.
Exactly. So you got to get some flesh on the bone, as I like to say. And then bring some value and conversation and dialogue back and forth.
Well, it strikes me that this technology can be a tremendous accelerator. And, of course, speed is a subject that's very dear to my heart. But if your message sucks and you use this technology, is it just going to suck faster?
Yeah, you detract. And that's what I think a lot of people think. You know, I'm just out there, I'm out there, I'm out there, I'm out there.
Right.
But if you're detracting, It's the polar opposite. It's worse.
You're creating a negative. You see, this is the thing about branding. I'm sure you'll agree with this, is whether you want to or not, you're branding.
Right.
You know, if you're doing the wrong thing, you're branding. And that's
and now
your
you're
new
doing
brand.
It really fast and wide, right?
Right. And then those are the people that are like, Twitter doesn't work. You know, I tried it. It doesn't work. You know, because they're going out there doing it the wrong way.
And so they're just pushing their stuff, and they're pushing their product, and they're giving, you know, it's almost, you know, I just had somebody, I was at a business-to-business function, and she came up to me, and she said, but is there going to be a point when I don't care when somebody, what they're eating? And I said, well, if people are using it, and hate to give a bad example, but I was following this young lady who decided that she was going to go through her entire blind date on Twitter. And so I can't even imagine what the guys with her are thinking.
Right, or you know, future daters of her.
She's twitting throughout this entire date, you know, like, oh, he's doing this and he's doing that.
Unbelievable.
And I'm thinking, this person really does not understand the power of social media. Nobody really cares, unless it's her close friends, and she could do that on Facebook or something.
Right.
But, you know, as a business-to-business person, that's how I knew this person. You know, it detracted me from wanting to watch her, so I defiled her. And I think that 60% of people right now who get on Twitter, get off of Twitter. And we also find that the number one thing in Twitter right now is defollowing people. because they're either doing it too often or, because they're not adding value or they're providing just so much stuff.
It's just noise.
It's noise.
It's just noise on your Twitter feed because you just don't want to deal with it.
You're exactly right.
And Twitter and some of these other vehicles, these are not the places to actually conduct a transaction. I guess what I'm trying to get my arms around, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, okay, this is great. We get our message out there. We bring them into our circle, sort of. But how do you manage that elegant dance, and when do you convert that to a for-profit relationship?
Well, what I always try to teach people, there is a cycle, like any kind of journey. In the sales, well, I'm sure you guys have heard of in the sales process, people always say there's 13 touches before somebody becomes a client. So you have to offer these different steps, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing happens in social media. The first step is they either come visit you, they check you out. The second thing is they're going to become a return visit, okay? Mm-hmm. They come back, they want to check it out again. That's very, very important. And tracking that number to me is very important, especially in my blog. How many, not just did they come, but have they come back?
And then
once they come back, then hopefully they subscribe to your information, whether they follow you on Twitter, whether they're subscribed to your blog or your information. And then hopefully after that, then they convert to something, whether it may just be a better prospect or a customer or whatever you're trying to convert them to, because it's not always a sale. And then hopefully the last ones, they become an advocate or a referral, or they get out there and they spread your name, kind of like we've been talking, laterally or horizontally. And so there's really that five-step journey, if you will, in the social media spectrum, and you really got to do that. Now, what's great about social media is if you look at the old sales model of 13 touches, social media can count in that 13 touches. So you can get to touch people a lot faster versus having to send them a direct mail piece. And so you get to touch them a lot faster, so you can really shorten that sales cycle, I like to say.
But you can't really cheat steps, though. And I think that's a mistake that people kind of make, is they want to just cut to the rave about me. You know, they don't want to go through the process. Right. They want to skip steps. And especially when they're feeling financial pressure like this economy is putting on certain people, they want to speed up everything. And it has its own rhythm. You know, all these social media have a different way of interaction, and you have to respect that.
And Lee, I think that's a great point. I had a guy come up to me at a business-to-business function again. He said, hey, I'm trying to launch a new product. How do I get that through social media? And I said, well, how long have you been on social media? And he said, oh, I haven't been on it at all. So he thinks, you know, from he's going to be able to just get on social media.
Right, and then all of a sudden,
launch you know,
it's an ATM machine.
Nothing against that. But, you know, it's kind of like what I told him. I said, you know, think of Oprah right now. If Oprah says something, it's gold. But mm-hmm. that her thing didn't just happen today that's made her gold. It's taken her 15 to 18 years or whatever she's been on TV to gather right. that following. So it's almost like you have to get out there, add value. And what you're trying to do is create a community or a group of followers that look to Stone and go, Stone is the innovative expert in the world, and I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. I'm subscribing to his information. So when Stone says, hey, I've got this new product coming out or this new book, people are excited to hear about it because they know Stone already. They're like, Stone's already got credibility with me. He's earned my trust. He's earned all these things.
Right.
And you can't speed that up, Lee. You're exactly right.
And that I think that's a mistake that the beginners make a lot of times when you see them on the new social media, is that they want to cut the line to the end of, you know, love me and tell the world about me before they've really earned it, like you said, Chad.
Absolutely.
But once you have that in place, I think the balance of it does happen a lot quicker. Once you do get 7, 8, 10, 12 influential people that other people, they value their opinion, they like the book, they like the talk, they like the concept, then it spreads like wildfire, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm actually reading a book called The Tipping Point right now by Malcolm Gladwell. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have read that, but it talks a lot about how does that fine line push it over the edge. And some of the things that, you know, you really want to keep in mind, though, what's great about social media, again, is if I have a follower or a marketing ally, as I like to call them, and they're a fan of mine, and they see that I'm connected to Stone, all of a sudden Stone, I can say something about Stone, and I'll give Stone that credibility that my thousands of followers or how many ever people I have following me, now he gets instant credibility online, where it may take a face-to-face meeting or something like that to gain that instant credibility, where I could pass that on to you.
And that's good for me. It's good for the person you're trying to help, but it's also, it endears you to them. Right now, you are a genuine resource that's not only about how Chad Rothschild can reach into your wallet.
I'm a connector, and that's what I try to be, is a connector of people. And, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, I'm trying to out there add value to my followers. And by doing that, adding Stone as a resource could be a value to some of my followers. So therefore, it's a value to me and to my following.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be an important skill set for the future marketers out there, is that you're going to have to add connector to your resume. Because if you're not, if you don't have that mentality of that give to get and spread the love, you're going to have a problem in this world. And I think that that you really have to work on that. And a lot of people don't.
Well, I think it's a more important skill set now. It's every bit as important, if not more so, than maybe presentation skills used to be for the guy that was out schlepping product and doing sales calls.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you said that, because I'm like Earl from the show, Earl Show. I believe in karma, and throwing good stuff out will come back to you.
Right.
And I just wrote a blog post on mine talking about, you know, what's in it for me, because it's always the number one question that I get. What's in it for me? And I think if you can just turn your perceptors around and say, what's in it for them? Mm-hmm. And that will automatically bring back things to you, maybe tenfold, but you don't ask for it. It just comes back.
Right. Well, a person, just think about it. And this is kind of the selfish reason we all behave in this way. I think we all do this kind of the give to get mentality, is that if all things are equal and I'm a connector, I'm going to win every time, you know, because my potential client's going to want to work with me because they mm-hmm. want access to all my connections and they want to be in that same loop. So the bigger connector I am, the more value that I'm showing to all the people around me.
Why do you think I'm hanging out with you two?
That's right. Now, do you find that this new world order for branding, marketing, reaching your market lends itself better to business to business or business to consumer? That's question number one. And number two, does it lend itself better to tangible product and service or something more like professional services?
Again, it's a great question. I get that all the time. I'm a business to business marketer. So I always think of business to business marketing. It's funny how people come to me with this question all the time, but I always ask them, so you're telling me that my logo is doing business with your logo? Absolutely not. It's people are doing business with people, correct?
Right.
So it's all about people and people. And that's really what social media is tied to. I'm not, you know, 90% of those people in the business world are getting their information online. So you need to be out there in there connecting with people, because people are going to buy from people. Employees work for managers. You know, so mm-hmm. they don't work for a company. They work for their managers and upper management. And hopefully they have some type of connection that's going to do that for them. So to answer your question, it's business to business on the social media is the same for business to business as it is business consumer. And I think it's even better for business to business, because
really?
You have a better relationship with those people that you're working with versus if it's a consumer end product. Think about that. You have very little tie to the person who's actually buying your consumer product. I mean, you don't know them by name. You don't know their kids. You don't know about their family. So when you're talking to somebody in a business to business relationship, you have a much closer tie to that person. You know a lot more about them. You know their purchasing. You know their behavior. So you can talk to them on a much more intimate level than you can on a business consumer.
And you better have your branding ducks in a row before you get out there and utilize all these resources.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Listen, we could talk to you all morning, Chad. This has been an incredibly informative and engaging conversation, and we'd love to have you back. We're about out of time here. How can people reach you, learn more about the services you provide, and follow your blog and connect with some of the resources that you have available?
Well, the best way is chadrothschild.com, and that's Chad Rothschild, rothschild.com. And that's, I've got all my information on there. And it's, again, it's not a selling website. It's 100% value added website. And I do have a place that people can connect with me and, or they can find me in that way.
And probably heavily peppered with links to the High Velocity Radio Show and Stone's book and speaking engagements
exactly.
and all that, right?
Absolutely.
If not now, by this afternoon, we'll work on it. We have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show, and I tried to give you a heads up about this. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend or not, Chad. But we like to ask each of our guests if they would to share with our listening audience a mistake that they've made somewhere in their career. and more importantly, what they learned from it. Could we con you into doing that for us?
Absolutely. I didn't. It's a holiday weekend, so I didn't read much this weekend. but the biggest mistake that I missed, and I wish I had read Seth Godin 10 years ago, was not catching this new marketing soon enough, because I've been trying to be what's made me successful, you know, the last 10, 15 years of my existence. I continued to try to do that, and I found out through a myriad of failures that, you know, there's a new way, and I sought out this new marketing. And I think it can, you know, I share all that on my blog, and I think through my lessons of learning, I can share a lot of that information with your listeners and my readers and followers. So
it's real wisdom in looking and seeing what's out there, what other people are doing successfully, and not being scared to throw your head over the fence and try some new things. And obviously, this whole area of capitalizing on social media and being very crisp and straightforward and clear in your branding is serving you and your clients really well.
Absolutely. I'm excited about it. Thank you for having me on the show, guys.
Oh, it was an absolute delight. Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Chad Rothschild, Lee Cantor, and the entire Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.